Okay, so yes, this is once again a Scott in the dark, but I'm not in the dark scaring people. I'm in the dark at Christmastown at Busch Gardens in Tampa. Christmastown, for those of you who don't know, is their big Christmas event, and normally I would not do a show about a Christmas event. However, on the Facebook page, on the Facebook group, a question came up: have I ever done a show about organizations or haunts that do a changeover and then do different holiday events? And I know there's a lot out there, but I know that Busch Gardens is one of, I mean, you know, one of the many theme parks that does that quick changeover between Halloween and Christmas. And, you know, in the Halloween Hodgepodge show, you did hear my report from Busch Gardens Hollow Scream, and now here I am. It seems like just a week later. I know it's been more than that, but here I am back again celebrating Christmas, and it is absolutely packed. This is recorded on November 16th. This is the first night of the event, and I know a lot of people are thinking, wow, it is way too early to be thinking about Christmas. But the truth of the matter is, this place is packed. People are absolutely jumping and chomping at the bit to get in here and get the Christmas season started. So just as excited as they were on Halloween, it's even bigger for Christmas. And it's interesting because one of the things that we were able to do years and years ago when I still worked here is we were actually able to set up some permanent power drops, some permanent lighting, and there was actually an overlap between the end of Hollow Scream and the beginning of Christmas. You could, if you looked really closely, you'd see that they would already start lighting the trees and plugging stuff in so they can just kind of lift and shift, you know, pull stuff out, so that the teams were constantly overlapping. Once Hollow Scream was set up, then Christmastown started shortly thereafter, but working in the shadows, as it were, of the big Halloween event. The other thing that I think is interesting is I know that there was a zoo for a while here in Tampa. It was called Lowry Park Zoo. Now it's called Zoo Tampa. That they used to actually set up their Santa Claus. They used to set up their Santa Claus house behind the walls of their haunted attraction, so that all they'd have to do is take the walls out and it was ready for Christmas. And that always worked really well because, of course, Christmas you want a broader, opener space. Opener, not really a word. More open space, and so it was great. It was just like shunk. And they were ready to go. So anyway, I'm gonna be bringing you different perspectives from here at Christmastown at Busch Gardens in Tampa, here on A Scott in the Dark. So right now I'm standing in front of their penguin exhibit, which makes total sense for a park like Busch Gardens to have. Now I will tell you, the penguins were not part of Hollow Scream. They were not part of the Halloween event at all, but They are here. They're standing on rocks and sand, just kind of looking at us like we're crazy. And I know that, you know, some of you who are listening are in some very cold climates right now. What people don't realize is most of the species of penguins that we think of are in the southern hemisphere, and in fact quite often like really warm weather. These guys look a little chilly, I will be honest. They look a little chilly right now. And it's chilly for us here in Tampa, Florida. You know, it's 70? So it's gonna get down to like 60 tonight. So, you know, I brought a hat and a scarf, jacket, parka, firewood. I'll make a little bonfire as it gets chillier. No, I won't go that far. But anyway, this is a haunter at Christmastown. So one of the closest things a Christmas event has to a haunted attraction, or a haunted house, or a haunt in general, is, believe it or not, a Santa Claus experience, or even a character meet and greet experience. Here at Busch Gardens Christmastown, the Santa Claus experience is huge. And again, full disclosure, the reason I know that is because I helped install it the very first time years and years ago. But the cool thing about it is the guest experience seems very personalized, even though they're able to get a bunch of people through in a relatively short amount of time. Now, of course, everybody wants to see Santa Claus at a Christmas event, just like everybody wants to see the biggest, most wretched monster during a Halloween event. But the thing that's interesting about Santa is you want it to seem as intimate and personalized as possible. So in Welcome to Santa's House, which is what it's called here at Christmastown, in Welcome to Santa's House, guests go up to the front of what appears to be the Claus cottage, and the kids can ring a doorbell, which has a rotating audio clip of everything from a choir singing to jingle bells to ho ho ho, a whole bunch of different sound effects, and an elf welcomes them. You go into the foyer, you get to see the elves decorating Santa's Christmas tree, you meet Mrs. Claus, and then one at a time, families are taken back to meet Santa Claus in his own personal study. Now, what's interesting is Santa has multiple studies, and it's really kind of fun because as you walk down the hallways, you walk down all these, you know, like sort of separate vestibule doors, and then finally your elf escorts you into one that's covered in mirrors, and everybody gets to check and make sure they look really, really good before meeting Santa. And then they knock on a floor-length mirror, and it opens up to reveal Santa sitting in his study. And so it's really pretty magical. And then they get their picture taken with Santa. And like I said, there are multiple studies. So without giving too much away, you can imagine that they can see a whole bunch of people. Let's just put it that way. You know, the same way Santa Claus can get around the entire world in one night, he can see thousands of people in one night of Christmastown, because he's magic. That's why. But anyway, it's just an awful lot of fun, because then when everybody exits, they exit into, you know, in true theme park style, they exit into the gift shop. In this case, they exit into the photo viewing area, and they can purchase their photos right then and there. And the elves are great, and everybody gets a chocolate chip cookie at the end of the night. Mrs. Claus has been baking, so it's pretty cool. But again, if you think about it, it's sort of like a haunted attraction that's meant to be heartwarming, not heart-stopping. Because again, you have this personalized wandering through of a storyline experience. Another one that's very similar, and I haven't experienced this year, and I don't know whether I'm gonna get a chance to before I leave, but here at Christmastown, at Busch Gardens in Tampa, they have a character meet and greet with the characters from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So it's, in years past, it's been Rudolph and Yukon Cornelius and Bumble and Clarice. And I don't know who it is this year. It's in a different location, so I'm not quite sure what it's all about. But it's kind of, again, an interesting experience because it's got scenery and photographers, and it's all about, you know, getting to see these iconic, classic characters. And yes, they are inspired by the Rankin Bass characters, and they look just adorable. They're so much fun. But then that too has, again, all the things that we have in a haunted attraction. It's got scenery, it's got lighting, it's got music. And I'm sure you've heard throughout this entire show, you hear that there's music playing, Christmas music playing in the background, and again, it's a big old event. Right now, I am back in an area, and I'm looking at the hot cocoa line, which by far is the longest line. And I know you're thinking, Scott, you're in Florida, why would there be hot cocoa? The truth of the matter is, it's in the 60s, the upper 60s right now. So for those of us in Florida, that's chilly. They want some hot cocoa, and they want it now. So there's a big old line. And it's another thing that we all do at haunted attractions. You know, we need to look out for those creature comforts for our guests. Food, photo ops. Photo ops, of course, are great ways to advertise either a haunt or a Christmas event. Food, a great way to generate additional revenue, whether it's hot cocoa, hot cider, or I know there's been a big discussion on some of the chat boards recently when it comes to haunting, and that's beer. Yes, here at Christmastown, they have beer. They have a full bar. They have spiked hot chocolate. They have spiked hot cider. So it's all stuff that ties into the overall brand of the event, but still fulfills all of those creature comforts. So certainly something that we as haunters can learn from. So let's see what adventures around the next corner. So as I've been walking around this evening, another thing I've noticed that makes it very reminiscent of a haunted attraction is the constant maintenance throughout the course of the night. You know, we have to constantly fill fog machines as haunters, or make certain that all the lighting is working or all the animations are working. The same is true in a Christmas event like Christmastown. I will say that Busch Gardens does a great job at this, generally speaking. I have seen one snow machine that needed filling, and I have seen one light display that has some moments, has some lights out in it. But again, overall, it's that same maintenance. You got to do a check when you open, and you got to constantly roam and make sure that everything continues to work the way it's supposed to. It's, you know, now granted, instead of making sure that the blood keeps flowing, you make sure that the snow keeps falling, or instead of making sure that the groans and moans are coming out of the speaker, you want to make sure that, I made that sound sort of like a porno, didn't I? But the monster sounds are coming out of the speaker. You want to make sure that jingle bells continue to emanate throughout the park. It's really interesting, because I've also noticed that not only are there technical similarities, there's also actor similarities. There are a bunch of seasonal actors here who do Howl a Scream as well as Christmastown. So basically, they go from being monsters to being elves, or from being that creepy old man to being Santa Claus. Potentially another creepy old man, but a creepy old man in a really cool suit and a very white beard. But anyway, so it's one of those haunt actors. If you've got a bunch of haunt actors and you're considering, hey, you know what, maybe I should do a Christmas event, you know you've already got a casting pool. You've already got people to pull from, as long as they are willing and able to clean up. I know that sometimes haunt actors are very adamant about, I am a haunt actor and that's all I do, which is cool. I mean, that's completely fine. But if you've got people who are all about telling stories and creating emotional experiences for guests, Christmas is just another way to do that. And in looking around here, I've already seen people that I know have worked either for Howl a Scream or perhaps even for me at Undead in the Water. I'm not saying that's for certain. Okay, yes, I am. That's for certain. But it's really neat because, again, so many of the things are exactly the same, only with a different face. So it's not just let's move on in the season, it's let's move on in the season and utilize all the stuff we've already got. So just another one of those moments that I had an epiphany as I wandered around here at Christmastown. Another thing that is very similar here at Christmastown is the number of atmospheric performers and performances. There are elves and princesses and snowmen all over the place. I mean, they're just so much streetmosphere. So it's kind of the same as our queue line entertainment. They're engaging guests, they're taking photos, they're keeping people smiling and having a great time. And so I think it's another interesting parallel between the two events, because they're here to do exactly the same thing. You know, our queue line folks are there at haunts to get people in the mood and to make them forget that they're waiting in line. Here at Christmastown, they're out and about making sure that as people move from one thing to the next, there's something that they don't have to wait in line for. And tonight is a very busy night, so the lines for things are rather long. with all the streetmosphere, it kind of makes you forget. And as you look up at the lights, and the lights are beautiful, but as you look up at the lights and as you ride the train and as you, you know, do all the Santa stuff that you're trying to do and all the shopping that you're trying to do, the streetmosphere keeps people smiling in between. And, you know, it's replace smiling with screaming, and that's what our Queue Line Entertainment does. Well, the night is just about over here at Christmastown at Busch Gardens in Tampa, and I've had a chance to actually run into some other folks who are in the haunt industry, and you know, we've been talking about a lot of the stuff that I've already talked about in this particular show. But the neat thing about this particular event is it's just so much fun. And you know, as we've talked about from the beginning, that changeover between Halloween and Christmas, and I did have a chance to actually chat with some of the tech staff here. Some of the folks that I've known and respected their work for a very long time. And I asked them, I said, how do you handle the changeover in such a short period of time between Hallow Scream and Christmastown? And what we discovered, or what she shared with me, is Hallow Scream came down in about 2 days, which is huge. I mean, that's amazing. Now, granted, they do leave some of their haunted houses up, and they're off, you know, off site, off view of the guests. But and all the trees that are wrapped are pre-wrapped, so they actually start wrapping the trees even before Hallow Scream opens, so they're just sitting in the dark until it comes time. But the install of Christmastown they did in 7 11-hour shifts, so it was one of those. It was one of those quick ins, and everything looks great. So, you know, if you ever think you can't install your haunt in the time that you have, think about, you know, covering about 300 acres with Christmas lights in, you know, roughly 77 hours with a staff and a crew. It's amazing. So I guess the point of this particular episode is, if you do have a Christmas event, even if you're a haunter and you're not thinking, you know, you're not the Christmas kind of person, I would strongly recommend that you get out and check out your local Christmas events so that you can see how you can learn, you know, anything from ticketing and how to handle guests arriving to something we talked about today, parking. You know, I've just walked out of the park, and I'm now headed towards my car, and they're parking. They have the trams all set up in the huge parking lots, but of course that's a theme park. But make sure that the sense of arrival is strong and easy, and the sense of departure is strong and easy. And that's true whether it's a haunted attraction or a Christmas event or whatever. And if you get a chance to check out your local Christmas event, find out what it is that you really like, find out what it is that works really well for you, and think about ways that you can adapt it next year when you want to do a brand new haunt. This is Scott Swenson, and if you'd like to say hi to me, I will be at the IAPA Expo in Orlando. I'll be there all week, and I just added yesterday a book signing. It will be on Tuesday at 5:00. Hopefully you'll listen to this before then. If you've listened to it after, you missed a really good book signing. But I'll be doing a book signing at the bookstore, at the IAPA bookstore, for Follow the Story. But I'll be there all week. I'll be there all week. Enjoy the veal. So anyway, this has been a Haunter at Christmastown. My name's Scott Swenson. This is A Scott in the Dark. And until next time, rest in peace on Earth. That's so wrong. That's just so wrong. Okay, so this is the hidden track, for all of you who remember albums. This is the hidden track in this episode, and I'm putting it in here just purely for selfish reasons. Okay, so I'm just going to say that right up front. If you are looking for a special holiday gift for that haunter who has everything you can think of, why not give them a book of dark and scary stories and poems? And yes, it's my book. And I know they don't have it because I haven't sold that many. But if you'd like to be someone who has a copy of my newest book, Awake in the Dark, or any of my other books, including Follow the Story, which is the Haunter's Guide to using storyline as sort of the backbone to create any event or haunted attractions, you can go ahead and visit scottswenson.com/books. And all of the information and links to purchase those books will be there. I will be happy to sign them. And if for some reason we're not in the same town or country or city or whatever, what I'd like you to do, if you'd like to, you can just reach out to me. And I will be, just reach out to me with a quick email saying, hey, I live in so-and-so, and I would love to have, I have a copy of one of your books. I would love to have it signed. And I will send you a sticker that you can put in the front of the book with an inscription and a signature, if that's helpful, if we don't see each other in person. So I guess this is really more of a hidden commercial than a hidden track. So please forgive me, but hey, if you want to get this, if you want to get these books for Christmas and you'd like me to have them, like me to sign them for you, please let me know, because I'll be more than happy to do it, all right? I guess that's enough self-promotion, shameless self-promotion. scottswenson.com/books. Okay, I'm done.